We have come to the second part of Lesson 6 in the series Marriage and Family Version 2. The title of this lesson is on parents and the responsibilities that God has given that are so important that are mentioned, revealed to us in His Word for us to submit to after learning what God would have us do in that important role, functioning as husbands and wives in a scriptural marriage in which we can work and pray together as godly parents seeking to do the will of God above all. Parents are to do what is right, even if your spouse for the time being is disobedient to God's word. As far as possible, carry out what God has said that you are to do to please Him. And you can have a wonderful influence for God, even upon your children. Parenting impacts your soul, society, the church, and future generations. And that is a sobering point to think about. Leadership of the church is affected because in order to be an elder, you have to have believing children, those who you lead to Christ in your children as one of the qualifications. In order for a nation to be strong, it must be filled with righteousness, submitting to the will of God. And that would include raising godly children. And future generations are affected whether children will continue in the Word of God, teaching their children in the future the way of the Lord. Recognize children are a gift from God for you to train to serve God. Provide life's physical necessities. But then we are to go beyond that as parents. And most importantly, we are to provide spiritual training that children may love and fear God above all. Beyond providing material things, the central task of parents is the training of children, ultimately to serve God. This training takes much time. It depends on parents first applying the Word of God to themselves so that they can be that example that will be influential upon their children, even at the earliest of ages of those children. It also depends on parents submitting to God's Word daily as their guide in the home and in all areas of their lives, and children being able to witness such reverence of the Word of God and obedience to the Word of God that it's not just something that we occasionally look at or refer to on Sundays, but it is a daily guide of life in the home that is to be studied even together in the home. Parents must be willing to overcome obstacles such as TV, social media, children's peers, schools, and others, to train their children in the way of the Lord. And that would include the cell phone. I don't have that listed, but we know in whatever way the media is disseminated to us, it would include that, those obstacles which wage war against the will of God and the will of parents to lead children to rebel against those. Parents cannot leave this training up to a local church or any other group to do in their place. Local churches may have regular Bible classes, but that cannot be the, should not be the major amount of training that a child receives. That should come from the parents. This training involves patient, loving teaching as well as corrective discipline when needed. And that is something that is often lacking today, discipline. And so we read in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is the guiding principle, leading children in the way of the Lord, applying the Word of God to ourselves first, and that would include, most importantly, parents. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, that is Timothy's writing to here, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So look to yourselves first in applying the Word of God so that we can be that type of example that we are calling upon the children to learn and to follow. And daily teach the Word of God, even in the Old Testament. They were to do this much more in the New Testament. Regarding the apostles' teaching found in the New Testament, we are to teach that day by day, but the example, even in the Old Testament, they were to teach their children in the way of the Lord each day. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so that means that the Word of God is to be a part of daily life, and to be studied and with children daily, even for a few minutes in the home. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so fearing the Lord is something that we are to do, knowing that He is above all, creator of all, and will be our judge at the day of judgment through Christ. But God not only is to be feared, He is to be loved because of the love that He has shown for us. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No greater love has or can ever be shown than what God has shown for humanity, dying for the sins of men and women, even though we deserved condemnation by our own conduct. How do we love and fear God? We are to keep His commandments, submit to His will according to His word. 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So if we claim to love God without keeping His commandments, then we are lying to ourselves and to God and to others, because obedience from the heart is the way we display our love for God and our fear of Him. Children are to be taught to become Christians. They should have a knowledge of what Jesus has done for us in order to save us, that he died for our sins after living a perfect life and was raised from the dead on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God, ruling as king and priest, that he is Lord of all, that he is God's anointed king, that he is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when they believe this, realizing the sins that they have committed against God, choosing to disobey God by their own actions. Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And they were told what to do on that day. They were not told to bring their babies to be sprinkled with water, or they were not told to say the sinner's prayer, simply asking Jesus to come into their hearts. What they were told on that day, and what we are telling you and all to do this day to become a Christian, is verse 38 of Acts 2. Peter said to them, repent, that is, change your mind, turn from your sins to God, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ by his authority. For what reason should you be baptized? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is, the gift of salvation revealed by the Holy Spirit, made possible through the blood of Jesus and his resurrection, and ruling at the right hand of God in heaven, bringing his offering before the God in heaven, so that we might receive the grace and mercy and avoid the wrath to come for those who continue in sin. What did they do? Verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls, added to his saved body, saved, and then added to the body of the saved together, Jesus' church, that assembly of saved people in the world, having been forgiven of their past sins, and when they believed in Jesus, repented of their sins, and according to Acts chapter 8, at the end of the chapter, verse 32 to the end of the chapter, when they believed in Jesus, confessing their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, that he is God, that he is Lord. Confessing that faith in Jesus, repenting of their sins, they were baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. And that is how we become a Christian, and this is how we must teach children to become Christians. And this is what we encourage you to do today, or whenever you may listen to this lesson, and not trust in the false ways of salvation that are popularly taught and followed with no effect to save, because they are a perversion, they are perversions of the Word of God. Verse 42, they, after they became Christians, were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, not to the denominational teachings that we have today, which divert and distort the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, sharing together in those things that God calls them to do, including partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, that is, every Sunday. Partaking the Lord's Supper, worshiping together and praying together, studying the Word of God together. and those things that God would have us do that we can read about in the New Testament. Working together as His children, not in a denomination, but in a group of individuals that are bound together by our faith in Christ based upon the apostles' teaching, which we have in the New Testament today. And as we fall short of His will, which we often do, Acts 8 and verse 22, as Simon the former magician who was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins began coveting the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and he was rebuked. Acts 8:22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, change your mind, turn to God, turn away from this thinking, and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Turn back to God. And so we can be lost after being saved, so we must ever humble ourselves and confess our sins and repent and pray to God for mercy as often as needed as Christians, that we might continue by His grace. Each day we teach children to pray, and we pray ourselves so that we don't become anxious, but we trust in God to help us through the day and give us strength and what is needed to serve Him. Philippians 4, verse 6, 7, and 13, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Verse 13. Teaching children to depend upon prayer and follow the Word of God each day, but also to make time and eagerly worship God on the first day of the week and even at other times with the local church who seeks to abide in the apostles' teaching. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, in sincerity and according to what the apostles' teaching says. John 4:23, Jesus said, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Teaching children each day to develop the morality, even some of which is mentioned even in the Old Testament, that they should not be giving themselves over to fornication and strong drink and drugs, but to devote themselves to sobriety and following the Word of God and purity. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vow? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. And so that's just a part of what was told to King Lemuel. And then we read in Ephesians 6 and verse 1 that they parents are to lovingly teach and discipline their children, that they will lovingly obey God. They will lovingly obey the parents, rather, And this will lead them to lovingly obey God. But it's God's intention, as we will study in the next lesson next week, the Lord willing, on children. I believe that is the next lesson. We will double check that. It may be something else, but eventually we will study about children are to honor their parents, and that includes obeying their parents, and that is the will of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so it's teaching the Word of God, and part of that foundationally is that children learn to obey and honor, respect their parents as God intends, hopefully led by parents according to the will of God. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. So they are to lead them in a loving manner, being patient with children that they may learn how to follow what they are being trained to do, so that they become obedient to parents and eventually obedient to God. It takes time and patience and to do this. Paul said these are the characteristics of love that should be expressed even in parents seeking to teach children. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is patient, long-suffering, is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly and does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Even as the Lord allows us to go through trials in this life, that we might be disciplined, that we might abandon those things that are corrupting our faith and not helping us develop a godly character. So it is with children, is the reason discipline is given, so that they might abandon those things that are destructive while they are young, instead of becoming hardened and entrenched in those sinful and rebellious thinking and conduct. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. So the point is, with the Lord, discipline is an act of love, because he doesn't want to see us destroyed after we have turned to him in salvation. He wants us to be made holy, to be set apart for his will, to grow in his grace and knowledge, and so he allows us to be disciplined. And discipline from a parent should be an act of love that is displayed. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? In other words, if the father does not discipline his son, he does not love his son. He doesn't care if his son is destroyed, if his character is formed by the world rather than the Word of God. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And so again, if a father does not discipline his son, he is treating the son as if he does not even belong to him. In that way, he is treating the son as someone to be rejected. He is willingly participating in the destruction of his son, rather than disciplining, correcting him, bringing consequences to him, that he might turn from those things that are destroying him before it is too late. Verse 9, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so the purpose of discipline is to save us, to make us holy, separate, and exclusive in the service of God, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the Word of God. It is to correct us while there is time, so that we turn from whatever evil is carrying us away from the Word of God. And God exercises it with us as Christians, allowing us to go through trials in this life. And parents should diligently, when necessary, exercise discipline with children after patient teaching is done over a period of time. And then if there is still rebellion against it, then they are called upon to discipline, correct children, by bringing sometimes physical consequences to get the attention, not to for the physical abuse, but to get the attention of children so that they can be awakened and in time before they become so hardened in sin that they will not turn away from those things. Proverbs 13 and 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. If you don't discipline your son, then you don't care if he's destroyed. That's what Solomon is saying in the Proverbs. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Sometimes it takes getting the attention by negative consequences so that, again, there can be an awareness of the danger that the child is in, that they're not comprehending, so that they can turn back to their parents and back to God before it is too late. Proverbs 19 and verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. That's Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Brings shame to his mother. And then we need, as we discipline children, to have a forgiving attitude, not a vengeful attitude, but a forgiving attitude, as children turn back and turn back to obedience. We are to forgive whatever has taken place. And for parents who make mistakes in discipline, the children are to learn to forgive the parents, because mistakes are made at times. But parents are to turn to God as well, who is willing to forgive if we repent and pray. Ephesians 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Then we are to teach children to obey the government, not to the point of compromising the will of God, but up until that point. God has placed the governments in their positions, and we are to submit as far as we can and teach children to do so. Romans 13 and verse 1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Very serious matter. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. So teach children to obey the government, the minister of God, to bring evil, to bring punishment upon the evil, even death if needed, and to bring praise upon the good. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake, because this is how God would have us behave. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But yet there is that point where we may be called upon to disobey God by leaders, and this is where we must stand. And even if we suffer punishment or death, we must obey God rather than men. Acts 5:27, when the apostles were told not to preach in the name of Christ, when they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So the government, who is many times grow more and more in love with sin and promotion of sin and coercing people to sin, then we must learn to stand against it, regardless of who is commanding us to do it. Then finally, we are to teach children the value of work and giving. beginning with family. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, Paul said, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. It is a shame not to work, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So it's a serious matter if we develop laziness and an unwillingness to work. The apostle says we are to work. And this is how we are to have those things that we can provide for our families and to share with others. And it is to be an honest work where we do not compromise our Christian faith. Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. But serving liquor and promoting drugs is not good. That is, illegal drugs is not good. We must not be involved in evil types of entertainment. We are to do what is good, what is honest, what will not compromise our faith, and use that not only for the help of family, but for the help of others. Acts 20 and verse 33, I have coveted no one silver or gold or clothes, Paul says. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Teach children to value the value of work and giving, beginning with family. But always putting God and worshiping God first. Too many Christians have sacrificed the worship of God on Sundays, claiming that that's the only way they can make a living. But yet Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these material things, will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we are not to abandon worship to make a so-called living. Parents are to work and pray together as godly parents in a scriptural marriage. If you're not married and have children and you have the authority by God to marry one another, then you should do so to please God and to be the example to your children that you ought to be, and to society, and most importantly to God. Do what is right, even if your spouse is disobedient to God's word. You can have an influence. Parenting impacts your soul. It impacts society, the church, and future generations. Recognize children are a gift from God for you to train to serve God. Provide life's physical necessities. Provide spiritual training that children may love and fear God above all. Lovingly teach and discipline children that they will lovingly obey you. Teach children to obey the government, but never to disobey God. Teach children the value of work and giving, beginning with family. Oh yes, this is how we are to function in worshiping God, in being parents. And we would encourage all to respond to that and to submit more to the Word of God so that children can be taught as God would have them be taught. We would encourage all to become Christians in the way that we can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. We pray for those that they may do so. We pray for all that, if parents, that they may turn more to God as He would call upon you. It begins by becoming a Christian. Acts chapters 2 and 8, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that He died for your sins after living a perfect life and was raised on the third day by God and is ascended to the right hand of God, ruling over heaven and earth now as King and High Priest. If you believe that He is God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that He is Lord of all, then repent of your sins, confess that faith in Him as the Son of God, and be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and this is how you become a Christian. Do that, and God will graciously forgive you and cleanse you of your past sins by the blood of Jesus. And then continue to learn and follow the apostles' teaching that we can read in the completed New Testament. And those who are already Christians, let us humbly repent and pray as we sin against God as often as needed, confessing our sins and praying for forgiveness that we might continue to grow in His grace and His knowledge day by day. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. We would encourage all to respond to the gospel invitation before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.